Hello again.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome back to Aura Talks. As promised, this time's episode has got B in it, and he's going to be sharing a little bit about the history of Auraville through his experiments in alternative economy. Unfortunately, this time it'll just be Quentin and I, because we think that B deserves this talk time. He's got plenty of interesting things to share. So B, I'd like to start by asking you, how do you feel about this project? I know you've been following us closely and helping out in every way possible. Can you tell us a little bit about what's your mood about this?
My mood about this is very ecstatic, because this is something we've been waiting for. You see, the history of Auraville, I mean, it's not my experiments. The higher purpose is at work in Auraville. And I see that this current evolution of what's going to happen here because of this initiative is really, it's providential, it's exciting, and I'm so happy that just I was able to be part of it. And I really want to thank the Koreans who kind of got this thing going, like Haejung and Danbi, because it came more or less through the Korean Pavilion initiatives, and Professor Cho and the Science Walden Institute. So they have motivated us to do this, and this is what Auraville needs. And it's happening all over Auraville. There are these groups that are trying to do something, and we've had the history of Auraville is full of all sorts of these things. And I mean, we learned, but we also failed pretty miserably. And Auraville, you know, is 51 years old now, and it's about time we get it together on the economic side. Mm-hmm. So,
speaking of the history of Auraville's economy, experiments in alternative economy, I think that you've been really a pioneer in many of these experiments. So I thought it could be interesting for you to talk a little bit about your experiments and kind of work backwards towards where we are today.
Okay. Yeah, we flash back to, you see, when I first came to Auraville, the thing that happened in Auraville was that it was working fairly well when I arrived in 1974, because the mother had just passed away in the end of 73. So that momentum was there. And the idea of prosperity, which was a system in the ashram where people were taken care of, had more or less oozed into Auraville in its own form. And people had that mindset that they would be taken care of, and that a kind of a universal basic income would be there for them.
Could you talk a little bit about what was this prosperity system?
Okay, the prosperity system was, first of all, we had these kitchens, you know, community kitchens. So that solves the food issue right away. So you don't have to have, you know, a kitchen or be shopping or any of that. So that's a huge item. And then, of course, the other big item is housing. So we had houses, we had primitive houses, but we had the keyed houses. So those were provided. And we had, for example, the Matramandir workers' camp, where 25 people lived in keyed houses, and then we had the community kitchen nearby where the Matramandir office is now, and we just went over there, and so it was covering things. And then if you needed some soap or some toothpaste, you signed up, or there was a person who came with a supply of those things, and you could get them. And at one stage also, you were able to get about 200 rupees, what they called it, pocket money. So you had a little something if you needed to go to Pondicherry.
Some kind of an UBI system.
Yes. But then people had their own money, of course, too. Mm-hmm. See, there was no compulsion to give everything to Auraville or any of that. And people would come from abroad and they would bring stuff. Some people had money, they shared it. Mm-hmm. And the early system that happened to me after the Matramandir situation shifted when we closed down the Matramandir camp. when they wanted to build the gardens there. And Oroville, by that time, was starting to expand. That was in the 80s, early 80s. And already the foundation had come. So all the problems we had in the 70s, the really heavy law and order and trauma that happened there, the violence, all that stuff was over. So we could settle down. And Oroville evolved its own systems. It first started with the Portu system, which the mother had given that name. So Portus for everyone was first of all just food and food distribution, but then it became money and economy and like banking, and it split off from the food. So then the financial service started in at that time. And Otto, who's still here, was there in the very beginning. And I started right away bothering him about, we have to change this economy. We cannot just be a little subunit of the State Bank of India, because that's kind of what we became. And that was not appropriate. I thought, you know, Oroville should have its own bank, so to speak.
Why it was so important for you to participate in that economic system?
Because I was looking at the ideals of Oroville, and in the ideals of Oroville, first of all, we eradicated private property. You know, that first statement, you know, Oroville belongs to humanity. It's a huge step, and we did that. And then you have the willing servitor of the divine consciousness, and you have the unending education, youth that never ages, and the human unity. So to get to those things, you have to have an economic system that is egalitarian, and you can't have rich and poor. So we, right in, at, still at that time, we had the rich and the poor.
Okay.
We had, you know, there's no judgment on anybody, but people came, like architects came, who, you know, were professionals and had money, and they could build big houses and do all that sort of thing. All fine. But then there were a lot of other people who couldn't do those things. So the sharing aspect, how to get that community together. So to make community happen, you really have to.
And you feel that Oroville economic system misses a step in that, like, kind of sharing economy and community economy?
Well, they never started. They didn't miss any step. And they just missed it in a certain sense. But in another sense, they did. There was some sharing, but it was still the inequality. There was still the disparity between the rich and the poor was still always evident. And it was very hard for people who didn't have money to sort of manifest things. It wasn't true in all cases, because there were people who came to Oroville with absolutely nothing and just built little empires for themselves, which was also fine. So we were going through that empire stage, you know, kind of a feudal system. We sort of reduplicated human history a bit, and, you know, a little bit of slavery, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
B, can I take you back to Otto?
Yes.
So when you were irritating him for bringing on a new kind of system that suited Orville's ideals, what was the response?
He was always open. That was the great thing I loved about the guy. Always open, always positive. And he would say, well, we're having an economic meeting next month, and we're going to work out a new system, and we're going to start this. So it was always, we're just about to do it.
Okay.
So that went on for 40 years. That's the only difficulty.
So what did you do?
So what I did was we did our own thing. See, that's basically what you do.
That's kind of the beauty of what you can do in Oroville.
Exactly. So we started Verite. And in Verite, we did it all. We did absolutely everything. The organic garden, we shared all the money, we were off the grid, we had the biogas, we dug our own well, we had a windmill. We did it. It was a complete system. And we were all living happily together.
For how long?
So we were 6 to 8, maybe 10 at different times. People would come and go, and we built that place that's still there and still doing very well. But it has, of course, shifted a bit in its some of its things. But at that time, it was fine. It was a good life, and people were happy. But then a little thing happened. After a few years, people, you know, became very familiar with each other, and And the systems, you know, these things need constant renewal and constant. So we used to meet. We were meeting constantly and deciding and group process, all that stuff. You know how it is with relationships. You have to keep at it. So we were at it, but then a baby came. One couple there, they had a baby. So the guy, he got into a different mood then. Okay, we're a family.
Yeah.
We need different things, which essentially meant more. And we had to do other things. And we needed more money. We needed a more share. We needed, actually, he wanted a like more of a voice, mm-hmm. in a sense. So it started shaking it up. And to shorten the whole drama, it all ended. Everybody went their own way. And I left. I left too. I went to the Greenbelt.
Okay.
So I moved in with Tina in the Greenbelt, and it was a whole another scene there I went into. And Charlie was there with the farm, and, you know, it was another story I went into. And then I also, but I continued with CSR, that Center for Scientific Research that we'd started, because Verite was actually a project of that. It was an ecological settlement to show how to use all the renewable energy systems in a life situation. So we had gotten some help for that, and it was so. And but Verite continued. Verite went into another phase with other people, and then I came back again to Verite after 7 years. I came back, and we revived a lot of the things, and we were into a big thing. And then something happened just personally in my life was my mother was dying, and there was nobody to take care of her. So the family sent me money to go there and take care of her. So I did. And so then at that point, I got involved in some things in the U.S. that I hadn't planned on. And those projects kept me there. I was expecting to come right back. So that alienated me from the Verite people because I had left 3 houses unbuilt, but I had all the material there. But they were very upset that I didn't, you know, follow through.
Mm.
And I had planned to, but you know how we can't plan our lives. So.
Yeah.
And still today, Verite is a sustainable community?
Yeah. Verite, and actually Dania came back. Dania was one of the founders with me. We were 4 people who founded it. Dania, myself, Anamika, and Vandana. So we started it, and then other people joined. And Dania came back after he was in the U.S. for a long time. And he came back, and he's there now, and he's basically part of the team that organizes it. And then it took a big leap also with Aurelio was there, and they built the Integral Learning Center. And other people came there and built things. So that place is doing very well. So that's one story, the Verite.
It's really nice to have some good example of project that in the time, you know, will keep maintaining themselves and being sustainable, because I feel there is a lot of idea and a lot of project initiative, but to include it in Oroville system and way of living and make it sustainable, it's way harder.
Yeah, so, much harder.
It's also nice to see how these things pick up and then there's new life and some new people come and
right. There's
really like this feeling like there's constantly these attempts taking place, and it's difficult to really make it last for very long because they need constant regeneration. But it's nice to see that there's new energy coming each time.
Right. And even today, you know, in Oroville, there are groups who are doing the sharing thing. There are different, there's seed, there's several. We tried a big thing at one time. It was called the circles. So you would participate in one of the circles. And the circles got more and more dense toward the middle. And in the middle, you were completely sharing. And then you were sharing partly, and like that. And that worked for a while. But usually what happens in these systems is somebody needs more, or somebody takes more, or there's some disagreements, and then it breaks down. But there's still these little pockets all over Oroville, and some are very informal. And there are people who come to Oroville, let's say they have a big pension, you know, from their former job. So they do their own thing. Maybe they take care of people who need to go to school or go off to university. All of this is happening. So it's very hard really to generalize too much about Oroville because almost everything is happening, you know, at different levels.
Yeah.
And nobody knows it all either.
The one thing I noticed since we've gotten engaged in this project and I've been looking at other alternative experiments such as the Library of Things and Free Store, your projects, I can't help seeing how much it takes for the initiators of these projects to really try to get other people to get on board, because most of these projects are collective processes.
Yes.
And there needs to be a sort of collective leap. So yes. How have you, being an initiator of so many different experiments, how have you been able to keep this kind of ever-fresh enthusiasm and optimism for Oroville being able to really bring some kind of shift in their economic system?
Because that's the spirit of Oroville. We keep trying until it works. So you try one thing, you know, like the Aura. See, when I introduced the Aura in 2011, so many people were very enthusiastic,
yeah.
You see. But then when it comes to doing, see, people, ideas are all over the place here. And every individual has several dreams that they're trying to manifest, but they want everybody else to cooperate with their dream.
Yeah, and, it's a competition of dreams.
Yeah, competition, that's a good way. So we have that happening all the time. And what actually the Aura thing, because it was a local currency, it needed to have a critical mass, obviously. Mm-hmm. And a few people went right, Krishna in Solitude and Anandi with her raw food restaurant, they went right into it for a while. But then we thought, you know, it has to go on a scale, and people like Nicole at the visitor center were ready to do it. She was very enthusiastic and she was ready to start, but it was the accountants that said no. No, you can't do this because we have a parallel economy. We have to keep track of it. What about the taxes? What about the audit reports? What is the government going to say? And all of that, you know, just killed it. There was no way around all of that. I mean, even to get it started, Otto, he said, I don't like it. I don't think it'll work, but I won't stop it. And you can go ahead, and I will cooperate with you. And I gave him the Auras. He had the Auras. The financial service cooperated fully. He had the Auras there. Anybody could go there and get Auras.
It's quite amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were circulating. Some people liked the idea, and they tried to promote it, but without the wide scales. And also, I didn't see Aura as the solution either, because it's just another paper, but. The big thing is the change in consciousness, where you use a paper that you have made that was, it was a total Oroville product made out of waste paper, Oroville waste, so-called waste, and that paper had all the symbols of Oroville on. And if you give somebody that and it was worth 100 rupees, you know, it did something to your mind, even though logically you say, well, you're just substituting, you know, a Gandhi note for an Oroville urn note. No, it's something totally different. And of course, it kept everything local. You couldn't go to Pondi with those things. So these local currencies, I had studied them a bit. In England, they had a tremendous impact on the so-called new towns. It revived the whole town, and it brought in a lot of renewable energy. It brought in all sorts of communal things.
Yeah,
people got excited.
Local solutions, I guess.
Yeah, it helped. You know, just kind of, it was a little catalyst. I thought maybe it might do it for Oroville. But now you see, last financial year, I stopped the Aura as a being backed by the rupee. So the Aura now is only got the value of Oroville on it. The Oroville values are in that. And people can use it any way they want. So now what has started happening, at Youth Center, they took the Auras and they're using them when they have their fairs. So people have to come in and convert their regular money into Auras. I mean, it's just a symbolic thing, but it, you know, and now...
It's an opportunity for people to look at money in a different way,
exactly,
I guess.
Exactly. And now, you see, the Aura will go virtual with this, that's the Aura talk.
Yes.
We'll walk our talk, see, and then And when you connect it into the UBI, this universal basic income, and then maintenances and all of that stuff, we're on a new frontier now. And that's thanks to this, you know, what is so good about this movement is it's coming from the ground up, and it's coming from the new generation. Because my generation in Oroville, they're a little burned out on these kind of things, you know, and they're also all comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
See, once we got the gelato and the cappuccino in Oroville, the comfort zone really escalated. It went out of sight. And so people don't want to rock the boat. And you know, the financial service is a phenomenal thing. You know, you have a number, you go to any place in Oroville, you give them the number. You know, you write it on a blue sheet, and you don't even have a card or anything. I mean, I'm assuming very soon, you know, we'll all have Oroville identity cards with a stripe on it, where you'll have to, it'll have your account on it, it'll have everything. You won't be able to use your number.
Well,
you think it's the future? We are going to shift from the blue sheet to like an ID card for everyone?
Oh yeah, sure. Because the blue sheet, you know, there are discrepancies. Anybody can write on there.
Mm.
And people already complain about it.
Okay, for like security.
Yeah, security reasons. See, because that security fear syndrome is just overtaking the culture. Mm. You know, everybody now is on their Aadhaar card. And, you know, they started the Oroville IDs.
But then it's kind of sad, no?
Sad.
That means we lose the trust.
Yeah, we lose the trust. So all of these systems that we're talking about now are based on trust and based on community. So that's why we want to make sure that we're putting things in that will build that.
Yeah.
Where these other things won't build it. They're going to make it worse.
And really, I think that what you offer us most is this feel that it's not really whether we succeed with this project or not, but just that we succeed in playing with certain kinds of values, pushing our boundaries a little bit, and just seeing if there's an openness to take that next step.
Exactly.
So I'd just like to thank you, B, for coming on this show.
Well, my pleasure. It's so great to talk about these things, especially with you guys.
And thank you for always filling us up with optimism, because sometimes it's really required here in Oroville.
Yes, but you know, we have Oroville has that force. It has the mother behind it. So there's no real reason to get discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And even people, I notice, you know, in some of these working groups, it's not the people that's the problem. It's the structure.
Yeah.
You know, they get caught they get stuck.
Yeah.
It's in their mind. See, we have to break that mental thing, you know. And our titanic mind thought it could get through the iceberg, but it sunk.
On that imagery, I'd like to thank you all for listening, and see you next week on Aura Talks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.